Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage REI, and welcome our guest, strong and powerful Christina Walls. Christina, are you ready to do this?
I am ready.
Excellent. Christina is a land investor. She's a coach and an entrepreneur. I'm excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
All right. Thanks for having me, George. So I was born and raised in Ohio, and I'm currently in Central Florida. When I was in my 20s, I was pretty adventurous, traveled all over the United States, rode my bike from Canada to Montana, from Oregon to California, wrote a play, went to college. And so I've kind of always had a little bit of an adventurous spirit and a desire to do things. And one of those things was real estate. And that's where, when I was probably in my 20s and 30s, I always wanted to get into investing, but I didn't have the education. I thought it was going to be expensive. And then I came across land investing, and it really did open doors and change my perspective. And so now currently I am a full-time land investor, entrepreneur, and a coach, and love it.
Nice. Are we talking about like a bicycle or a motorcycle?
Pedals.
Okay. You just never know. Like, picturing Christina
and my,
on this.
My mom was not happy. She was like, "You can't do it." I'm like, "I'm 25. I can."
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Thank you. Goodbye. If you need me, I'll be on my bike in the United States of America. So
pre cell phone.
Yeah. No way to contact me. What is it that you don't like about this, Mom? No, okay, great. Seems like a... So this episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show. Well, I'm glad that worked out, and I'm sure lots of amazing experiences. How is Mom glad it worked out? Or
yeah, but I forgot to call her for a couple weeks. Ooh. And she had to track me down at my friend's house in Southern California. Not a good conversation.
No, what is it? What was it that was so hard about calling Mom back in the day? Christina is just so hard.
Being in my 20s.
God, it's just the easiest thing in the world to just pick up the phone, but no. We've all been there. I love it. Well, life is full of these rich experiences. Okay, and I'm gonna ask you another one. What about sure. What about the play? What kind of play are we talking about?
So I was living in Montana briefly, and I've always written like all of my life since I was young. I just would write. And so one morning I woke up, I wrote a play called Crazies in the Back of the Room. I took it to the theater, the theater director, gave it to him. He read it. He liked it. He gave me a theater. And I was like, cool.
Great.
And I didn't do anything but write it. I did participate in, you know, I wanted to be a part of the production of it, but I didn't direct it, nothing like that. So that was kind of exciting. And it was a huge lesson on for me as a young person to realize that when we have a vision and we move forward in it, what it can produce. I think that was the first time in my life that I'd kind of put myself out there. You know, when you put yourself out there, you're exposed. But I was like, I wanted to see it on stage more than I was concerned about being ridiculed or exposed or whatever.
Yeah. Amen to that. I've never thought about writing a play, but 100% to actually write the thing and then to do the work of the production and to actually see it come to life, you know,
it was exciting.
Yeah. That's an amazing expression of vision and then doing the work and seeing it happen. So
Yes.
All right, on to land investing. Tell me a little bit more about that. What is it? Yeah, just tell me a little bit more about that.
So I have about 4 years ago, my son was about 14, 15, something like that. And I was running another business, but I didn't love that business. I was literally running the business to get him through school. And but I wanted to go into investing. But again, I had these fears. I don't have the money. I don't have the education. And so when he turned 15, I said, boy, you're going to start driving because I can't run a business and take you to all your sports and school. It just can't happen. But my plan was to get educated and to figure out where I wanted to go in investing. So I joined a local RIA and I started exploring different areas. And even though flipping houses is very popular, and it is kind of the talk of most real estate associations and investors, it just seemed like a lot of work to me. And I kind of didn't want to work like that. And I don't know anything about like fixing a house. So I had started attending some of the local classes, and one day they had a class on land flipping, and Jack Bosch showed up and started giving his demonstration of flipping land. And there was a couple sitting in front of me who had already just started, and they were about to close on their first deal and make $20,000. And they, you know, they're just a normal couple, like I'm a normal person. And I thought, oh my gosh, if they can do it, I can do it. And it resonated with me. So I had just bought another program from another investor, and I was not satisfied with it because it was like kind of ambiguous. It wasn't step by step. And I needed step by step. I had no education. So I bought into the land program, the method. And literally, I took it home, I committed to it, and in 30 days, I did my first deal, made $8,000, and I was like, oh my gosh,
yes,
let's do this again. So I had continued on, and you know, and it's not like you don't have to like go measure out the bathroom, the floors, the paint. You don't have to do any of that. You literally, I didn't even see the first piece of land that I flipped. I didn't go to it. I didn't do anything. I sold it to the neighbor, you know, and in 30 days I was at the closing table. So I realized that this is just a matter of getting better at doing the deals and repeat. So that's what I did. I just continued, and I made a lot of mistakes. My first deal, I had the contract all wrong, you know, but I was willing to do things wrong just to get to the end goal and to correct as I went. And I think that's a lot of times people get scared, like, oh, I have to, everything has to be perfect. No, it's better to keep moving and correct as you go, unless, you know, it's like illegal or something, you know. But so that's kind of how that went. And then ultimately, I'd got to a point where I could do the deals, and I was doing plenty of deals, but I was struggling in growing my business. And that's whenever I had called Land Profit Generator, the office, and asked if I could be a coach. I mean, if I could get coaching. And then I started going through the coaching program.
Nice. Does your son not have a bike?
He was at a private school, and it was like a 40-minute drive, so down the toll road, so a bike wouldn't work.
Okay, I don't know. It seems like the shoe's on the other foot here. Just give the kid a bike. You 40 minutes is too far. You were driving across states.
It seems like it.
Yeah, I think. All right. So needing the step-by-step process, I'm really the same way. And, you know, I think it is fear that keeps us from doing a lot of the things that we're interested in doing, certainly starting a business and learning a new skill, whatever it is. And that ambiguity of, okay, I sort of get it conceptually, but I can't see myself actually doing these things. What really are some of those key steps to investing and flipping land?
Oh, excellent question. So, we call it land profit generator, we call it LPG. It'd be the LPG method. So they have the method that they have laid out literally step by step. It's step one, step two. You really don't need to know far beyond whichever step you're on. So we do a lot of mailings. We mail out to vacant landowners and we ask them, are you interested in selling your land? And if they are, we send them an offer. So you have to have a little bit of a system set up. You have to have a system to send out mailings. Well, first you have to have a list. You know, so you have to go like use a list source or something like that, create a list, send out the mailings, they call in, you log it into your software and then you send them an offer. And then you do some follow-up. And you know, maybe they'll call and cuss you out, or maybe they'll call and they'll be like, let's negotiate, or yes. You know, so that's kind of the process. Then you get the property under contract and you either can buy it outright or you can wholesale it. And you can also sell this land for cash, but you can also, which is my favorite way, is to sell them on terms. So that you are creating cash flow. And oftentimes the down payment will pay the owner off and you own the land free and clear, if not in the first month, with the down payment, maybe within a few months. And then so now you're collecting monthly payments for maybe 5 years.
Got it. Nice. So, creating this list, I imagine that, I mean, is there vacant land that's owned, I assume, just all over the country?
Oh my gosh, everywhere you look. Yeah. So one of the things that I do, which is part of the method, is I get like mass county lists. Like there's all this public information on like the property appraiser's website, and or you can pay for a list. Either way, like Agent Pro, Datatree, places like that. And you can put in your criteria what you want. For instance, you can put in I want all vacant residential lots between quarter acre and 10 acres. I want them maybe tax delinquent. I want the owners maybe out of state. You know what I mean? So you can put in all this criteria. I don't always do tax delinquent unless I do. Sometimes I do blind offers. And if I do blind offers, sometimes I'll do tax delinquent. But the thing is that there are thousands of people who have inherited land that they don't want. They're paying taxes on land that they bought 20 years ago and they're just sitting on it. Maybe they've gone through a divorce, or you know, there's a lot of different reasons why people just flat out don't want their land and they'll sell it for a tremendous discount. So I buy and sell land at a discount, so I'm able to move it quicker.
Got it. Well, that certainly does make sense. I think about all the different things that can happen to us that we would no longer want this thing, and it's maybe more of a burden than it is anything else, or it's just there and oh, you know what? If I can make some money out of this, then why not do that? And that so the certainly creating a list, it seems like there's a million different variables, but you just test things that work for you, kind of a thing.
Sort of you. So part of the LPG method is they teach you what to look at. You know, that's part of the education. And when you go through coaching, if you start coaching as a new student, I started coaching later to scale my business, but a lot of people come in and they've never done it. So they get training and coaching on what to look for in a county. You know, you have to look at the population of the county, the growth rate. You know, what's buying and selling on the market. So there's definitely things that you have to look for that show you whether that county is a good county or not to work in.
Got it. Nice. And then the mailing, I totally get that. They reach out and say, "Hey, I got your postcard." And then you start this negotiation process. And I imagine that I can get my brain around that. All the different ways.
Well,
Oh, go
so,
ahead.
but wait a second though. I don't do postcards. We do letters, and I hate to say this, but like I don't negotiate over the phone. I just send them an offer. because that's, to me, in my world, that's a lot of time on the phone. I'll do like 200 offers. You know, I don't want to talk to 200 people. You know, I've kind of organized the business around how I want to live, and talking to a lot of people on the phone is not one of those ways.
Okay, got it. So, all right. So, on the top of the funnel, for lack of a better term, how many mailers or letters are we sending out, typically?
Well, well, I typically do about 7,000 this year, 2021. We're doing 7,000 a month, but last year we were doing in between 3,000 and 4,000 a month. But my goal this year is to double my income. And to be quite honest, since I've started, I've doubled my income every year. But this year, I want to like really maybe go beyond just doubling it.
Nice. Well, I think you absolutely should. All right, so let's just use round numbers. Let's say we're mailing 10,000 a month, just to kind of up your game a little bit, Christina, from this seven number. Come on. How many responses do you expect?
Oh, if I'm doing well, so it varies a little bit, but if I mail out 10,000 letters, I should be getting anywhere between 300 to 500 callbacks asking for an offer. So then how that converts, sometimes it can be 1% to a deal, sometimes up to 4%. So it would vary between 1% and 4% would be average. I like to get in about anywhere between 4 to 10 deals a month to keep the deal flow going.
Nice. Okay, so they call back in, and who do they speak to?
Well, I have a system that you mean for to put in a offer that to request an offer. So
Yes.
I've got two call okay yeah so I've got two call systems. One is they need to re they are requesting an offer. Those I don't speak to. It actually goes to a voicemail because all I need is their reference number. Some people use a call center. I have been using, and I used a call center at the beginning, but as time went on, I just kind of adopted a couple other land investors' methods, and it goes to a voicemail with a very specific voicemail asking for their reference number. And surprisingly, my hang up rate is really low, and when they hang up and they don't give the reference number, we text them and ask them. My assistant texts them and asks them for the reference number. So then my assistant puts all that information into the CRM, and then we give an offer. But whenever I send out an offer, I have a marketing line, and that I do answer because at that point I want to negotiate.
Got it. Nice. All right. And then on the actual final step of figuring out how you actually want to buy it, that's all part of the process as well.
Yeah, it is. And it really depends on the situation. Sometimes I'll buy it outright cash. If I find like maybe it's a sketchy deal, meaning like maybe the lot is kind of junky and it might not close or it might not sell, I'll probably wait. So my contracts are that I can close on or before 6 months, which is a little bit lengthy, but I seldom get any pushback on it, and my contract states that I can cancel the deal at any time because sometimes you run across like huge liens, or you run across probates, or you run across situations where, in order to close it, A, it wouldn't be profitable, or B, there's just a big problem.
Got it. Nice. Makes sense. Well, Christina, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
My difference-making tip is take action. Take action and be committed to learning what you need to learn in order to hit your goals, and not to be afraid. Even if you have fear, just keep moving forward and educate. Action oftentimes overcomes our fears because it's just simply we just don't know certain things. And but once we learn it, we're good as gold.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
Well, Christina, thanks so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Christina_13Walls, Facebook, Christina Walls. My website is christinawalls.life. And if you're interested in learning how to flip land and to get some more education about the LPG method, go to landflippingfund.com and that will lead you to a free webinar.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Christina your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to christinawalls.life, landflippingfun.com. Excellent. And I'll list all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Christina.
All right. Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together.